That's my cue, I think. That's my cue, yes. I always forget my cue. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Our announcements. Today, we are going to take a break from our Master Life class today. We will be meeting next week and continue with that. Let's see. Also, next, our meeting, council. Council meeting was supposed to be today, and that's being postponed to next week also. So we get this afternoon off. Praise God. Yay. Okay, so a little update. According to what we're being told on Friday, we were fully approved for the loan for our home. So praise God. Something else we're being told is maybe closing is on Tuesday. So we're just waiting for paperwork to show up now. So praise God. Keep us in prayer. Continue for that paperwork to hurry up and get here. We want to move into our new home. Also, on Wednesday, we do gather to pray. And every Wednesday, 6 p.m., right out here in the fellowship hall, we gather together, we pray together as a family should. So I'm asking that everybody, whether you are a member of this church or not, come and pray. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs to be a part of this, you know, because that's how we communicate with God. That's how the Holy Spirit helps guide us along our travels in this life. So come and gather with us to pray at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. See, also on Friday is Women's Bible Study, yes? Still? Yes. Okay, Friday, 10:30 is Women's Bible Study. Please come join. Come learn. You know, there's always something new to learn, and especially in that class. That class is awesome. So come and join us. Today is Lord's Supper. Anything else that I may have forgotten? Yes, Ryan. Absolutely, and that's going to be September. Yeah. So basically the first week of September, roughly.
6 p.m., the 5th through the 7th, and 6:30, the 5th through the 7th, and on that Sunday it will be 6 o'clock.
Praise God. Let's spread the word throughout our community. Yes. Yes, so we're going to have music, we're going to have the word, we're going to have a great message on each of those days, and so let's get the word out to everyone in the community. Let's invite them all in, and let's share Jesus with everyone, because when it comes down to it, nobody's going to be successful in this life without Jesus in their corner. Let's just be real about it. So yes, revival is coming up in September, and let's get the word out now. Is there anything else that I may have forgotten or I don't know about? Nope. Yes. Okay. Tim? Okay, well, let's keep Tim in prayer. Dwight, can you open us up in prayer, please?
Lord, we just thank you for this time we have to come into your house, Lord, just to be with you, Lord, to have you teach us more about you. Lord, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we might receive all the people for us.
Amen. Galatians 6:14. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Thank you. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, that is Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. They had about five more verses. Ephesians 1:18a. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you.
Oh.
All right, good morning, everyone. All right, so we are going to continue our study of Acts chapter 10. Now, God had called the people of Israel to a special relationship with him so that they might be his people, his witnesses, his missionaries to the rest of the world. God had entrusted them with his word so that they could tell the rest of the world about him. They were to be his witnesses, and that God is, that God exists, and that men are to worship and serve him and him alone. But somewhere along the line, the Jewish people have forgotten what their purpose. Instead of proclaiming God, they have created barriers between themselves and the rest of the world. Now, the Jewish people have come to believe that salvation was not just of the Jews, or have they? They had been brought up with the knowledge that Jesus was Jewish. Jesus came for them. Some of the Jewish people do fully believe that salvation is for all of the world, but there's still a very large Jewish population that doesn't, that have separated themselves from the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Us. Everyone who is not Jewish. It was into such a world that the church was born from. The Apostle Peter, he was a good Jew. He had been taught not to have anything to do with Gentiles. If he touched a Gentile, even accidentally, on the street, he had to go home and wash before he could be near other people again. That's their belief. It is easy to see what this attitude, if carried over into the church, what would that have done in the spreading of the gospel? Now, large areas of the world would have written it off completely as being beyond the grace of God. All of us as Gentile believers would be without Jesus to this day. But recall Peter. Recall that Peter had been drawn by the Holy Spirit. He was guided from one human need to another until he ended up in the city of Joppa, at the house of Simon the tanner. God had begun to progressively lead Peter away from his man-made legalistic attitudes. The very fact that Peter was willing to stay in the home of Simon the tanner was evidence of the softening of his legalistic spirit. And while God is drawing Peter away from his prejudices, he is also drawing another man towards Peter. Let's look back at last week, especially for those who weren't here last week. Let's look back at Acts chapter 10, 1 through 8 real quick. I'm going to paraphrase that section. We have Cornelius, who is a military man. He is a Roman soldier. Okay. He is a member of a regiment that is made up of free men from Italy and who were rewarded with Roman citizenship in recognition of their valor as soldiers. A centurion was, who at that time is a non-commissioned officer, and I believe it's the same status as an army staff sergeant today. Okay, so pretty high up in the chain of command for non-commissioned officers. And he was commanding roughly about 100 soldiers. Now, Cornelius is portrayed as a godly man. And we are told that he is a devout religious man, that he knows that there is a God, which is very important because the Romans believed in multiple gods. So for him, being a Roman centurion, believing in a God is important. And he is currently seeking more about God. Now, we are also told in this section that he fears God. He has reverence for God. It's not that he's afraid of God. He has reverence for God. He lives his life as if he is answerable to God. And we are also told that he is a generous man, one who gives to those in need. And we are told that he is a praying man. Now, if you look at these type of credentials given to us in the scriptures, on the surface, Cornelius appears to be a Christian rock star in the early days of the church. But the reality is, he is not saved. Now you wonder, how can that be? Because here's the cold hard truth that is underneath the surface. Cornelius is a man that is religious. He is sincere. He is even prayerful. But he is not saved. There are still many people today who think that all you need to do to make it to heaven is to be religious, is to be sincere, and to live a good, clean, moral life. Why do people think this way? It's because of the false teachers of this world that has told them that. Cornelius' position points out clearly that one can have all of that and still be lost. The title of today's message is A Vision That Changed the World. And we are continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 to 33. This is what I have been talking about in past about having a Christian show. Now, I don't know if everyone goes through this part of their Christian life. I know I did. You know, years and years ago, I had a show and tell, so to speak, kind of life as a teenager. But the reality was, no matter how much I had a show and tell for everyone to see, I didn't live what I was showing and telling. I was the complete opposite. I was seeking attention, not wanting to bring souls to the kingdom. It was all about me. Now, the angel who appears to Cornelius tells him to send down to Joppa for a man named Peter, who is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner. Now, why did God command Cornelius to send for Peter? God commanded a Gentile to send for a Jewish man in order to force an issue. An issue that the living God of this earth is not just for the Jewish people. He is for all human beings. God is pointing out a course correction in Peter's life so that he can correct Peter's attitudes and along with it, all of the other Jewish Christians. Now, Cornelius's story answers the questions that many people ask. What about the man who has never heard of Jesus Christ? Or What about the man who has lived up to the light that he has received but has never heard of Jesus Christ? Or how about what happens to him? There are a lot of people in this world who follow God. They follow the religion that they believe God has created. They live their lives according to how God has set forth in the scriptures. But following God is more than just following the creative God of our universe. We have to also follow and have a relationship with God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:6, when he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes before the Father except through me." Please stand for the reading of God's word for today's text. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 33. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's roughly around midnight. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners, descending to him and let down to earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. You may be seated. I'm going to be splitting this out. The vision of a sheet lowered from heaven that has various kinds of animals, some of them clean in the Jewish traditions, some of them are unclean according to their customs. Why did Peter refuse God in this vision? I mean, that's pretty bold to tell God, "Nah, I'm good, bro." Essentially, that's what he says. Because to Peter, he was taught throughout his entire life that mixing with clean and unclean animals would have rendered all of the animals to be unclean in his mind, unable to be eaten. This is why Peter refused to kill and eat any of them, because they all congregated together. All of them are unclean. Peter's response to God's command to kill and eat was, "Not so, Lord. Nah, brah, I'm good." It would appear to us as we read this that it is inconsistent to refuse to your Lord. If Jesus is your Lord in life, then he is your boss in life. How many times have you refused anything from your boss? When Peter refused to eat what his boss supplied to him, then was Peter being obedient? Peter is proud of the fact that he had never done certain things, and even today there are Christians that have a similar form of legalism. We sometimes define ourselves by the things that we do not do. It is not wrong that there are things that we do not do. What is wrong is defining our spirituality based on things that we refrain from doing. We might say, I don't drink. I don't swear. I don't smoke. I don't down the line. I don't do this. I don't do that. But the truth is that the world is not impressed with that. The world does not care if a Christian doesn't do those things. Those things are not a sin in the Bible. Do you know what non-Christians are looking for in a Christian life? They're looking for things that you can do. They want to know what they can do in this life that is beyond the capabilities of a non-Christian. What Christians in today's world need to show the entire world is very simple. It is not things that we don't do, it is things that we do. We need to live out in the world what the world is searching for. And what is that? What will influence a non-Christian to find Jesus? To find in the homes that are filled with Christians. They are looking for loving acceptance of one another. That is what's being professed right now. Love me for who I am. Tolerance is what they're calling it. Non-Christians are looking for a home that is characterized by warmth, by joy, by peace, in the middle of a world where homes are falling apart on every side. That is what this world is lacking. And that is what the people of this world are searching for. And that is what they will find in Jesus Christ. We need to be providing those answers, that light, that guidance to those who are lost. What was the Lord's response to Peter in this vision? God said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. It soon becomes obvious to Peter that these words had a far greater impact than simply what he was and was not allowed to eat. Peter was not to regard certain people as unclean or to avoid them, Gentiles. God is revealing to him that all forgiven sinners are to be accepted, including the Gentiles. The four corners of the sheet correspond with the four corners of the earth, or to have four points of a compass, north, south, east, west, the guidance of your life. The sheet contents indicate all of the millions of people who make up Peter's world. Peter called to mind the words of our Lord that is recorded in Mark 7, 17 to 23. And it says, when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Jesus himself is saying, it don't matter what you eat. What matters is how you're living. What comes out of here. What's in your heart. That is what matters. To God, being near pagans was not a problem. Jesus went to Romans in the Decapolis. They were pagans. Later, Peter tells Cornelius in verse 28 that it is unlawful for him to associate with Gentiles. Nowhere in the Old Testament states that we are not to associate with anybody, especially Gentiles. What Peter is referring to, though, is that it was unlawful according to the Jewish customs and practices that were created by fallible human beings, the legalism of their church. The legalism of church will destroy the church. It was this custom and practice that Jesus and his disciples set aside. There is a verse in the Old Testament, the Torah. The first five books of the Old Testament is the Torah, that should have kept this particular custom from ever being created. And that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man, how? In his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That should have been right there what told the Jewish people, every human being on the planet, God wants. God created. There's nobody on this earth that is unclean. Jewish people should have known that. Because that alone was what God was going after. Every single human that he has created in his image. Now, getting back to Cornelius, all God had to do was to prepare somebody to share the gospel with Cornelius. It seems that it was harder to get someone prepared to witness than it was to get the man himself ready to listen. Now, I wonder if that is true in our own community today. Are there more people out there outside of these walls ready to listen? But are there enough people ready to give it? In my opinion, I do truly believe that God has prepared a very large number of people in this community to receive him. In every community around the world, there are large pockets of people waiting, lost people who don't know Jesus, who don't know God in any way. They are searching for answers. They are hurting. They're lost. And they don't have the answers. They don't know how to get the answers. Essentially, they're waiting for someone to bring the answers to them. How do we interpret this vision? The vision left Peter confused. Well, this vision left Peter wondering what in the world that God was trying to tell him. The three men from Cornelius came up to the gate and called out if Peter was there. Look at the remainder, the next portion of our text. Okay, we have Acts 10:17-22. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. It is significant that Peter invited these men into the house. They're Gentiles, where they must have shared in a meal and spent the night under the same roof with a Jewish man. It is obvious that barriers are being torn down by God in this very moment. And that is often the case, that the Lord shows us some new truth and then gives us an opportunity to act upon that truth. This new truth in our lives may have come in a personal Bible study. Maybe it is in our Master Life class. Maybe it's a message that the Lord provides through me. When God challenges our hearts, He often provides situations or circumstances that call us to put those principles into action, into practice. The Lord, who has made His wonderful truth real to us, will also provide perfectly timed opportunities. And we should expect them. We should be looking for them. We should be welcoming them as gifts from God. Look at them with expectancy. And when they do happen, we will know that He has prepared us for those opportunities to minister. Excuse me. The remainder of our text, Acts 10, verses 24 to 33. "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also just a man.' And as he walked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation? But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" He got the point. "Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius says, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." When Peter arrives, Cornelius fell to his feet in worship. Peter's response shows that he realizes that it was inappropriate either to worship somebody as if they were God themselves, or to reject anyone as if they were unclean. Peter is finally getting the point of what Christ came here for. Peter refused to be treated as God, or to treat Cornelius as if he were a pig. In conclusion, first, it was the prayer of verses 5 through 9 on the part of both Peter and Cornelius that made them receptive to God's leading. Is your prayer life strong enough that God can use it to guide you and to give you direction? Eli Stanley Jones, who was a 20th century missionary and a theologian, once said this, "I find myself better or worse as I pray, more or less. It works with almost mathematical precision. If you pray more, things will get better. If you pray less, your outlook makes things look like it's worse." Second, the vision that changed the world began by changing one man. One man, Peter, affected the entire world. Peter's attitude was changed. And although he was still a little rough around the edges here, let's just be real, sometimes he slips up. And he did slip up in Antioch. And he regressed. But God changed him. And God can change you. Alexander White is a 19th century pastor and also a theologian. He puts it in real perspective here. He said, "It would change your whole heart and life this very day if you would take Peter and Cornelius home with you and lay them both to heart. If you would take a four-cornered napkin when you get home, then a pen and ink, and write the names of the nations and the churches, the denominations, the congregations, the ministers, public figures, and the private citizens, your neighbors, and your fellow worshipers, all the people that you dislike, that you despise, that you do not, cannot, and will not love. Write those names down on that napkin. Heap all of their names into your unclean napkin. And then look up and say, 'Not so, Lord. I neither can speak well nor think well of these people. I cannot do it, and I will not try. If you acted out and spoke out all the evil things that are in your heart in some such way as that, you would thus get such a sight of yourself that you would never forget it.'" So let's do that. Take a napkin. Write down all the names of the people that you hate, that you can't stand to be around. And let's see if you have the nerve to tell God, "Nah, bro, I'm good. I ain't going to them." Let's see how that works out. The problem is that we are just a selective group of people, selecting those whom we are willing to share the gospel with, as Peter and his Jewish brethren did. Do we see those around us as potential believers, or do we view them as unreachable? Are there coworkers or family members that we have written off as impossible to reach for the kingdom of Christ? The addicts, the abusers, those who we would think in our minds are not safe to be around. In other words, the Gentiles, the outcasts that of today's world, of the type of people that Jesus came here for. If Jesus felt safe to be around those type of people, why aren't we? Don't forget that when God shows us some new truths, and He will give us the opportunities to act on those truths, He often provides situations and circumstances that will call us to put those truths and principles into action. Expect it and welcome those opportunities. We have been praying for open doors at this church for a long time. And I'm going to tell you, those doors are now open. It is now the time to go through those doors and to proclaim Jesus Christ to the entire world around us. Now is the time to share with the Jews and the Gentiles of this world that Jesus came to save them. And always remember these words from Jesus. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are right now being called to be His people, to be His witnesses, and to be His missionaries for this community and for the rest of the world. We have a new revolution at our feet. A new revolution to bring Jesus to the people. And it starts here. It starts now. If you're here today and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart to accept Jesus as your Savior, come forward. Accept Him into your life. Accept who He is, because I'm telling you, He's accepting who you are. If you're here today and you don't know exactly what you are being called to do, every one of us is being called by God to do something. And if you don't know what that calling is, come see me. Come see our deacons. Let's talk. Let's get it figured out so that you can do exactly what you have been created by God to do. The path is before you. And as we prepare to have Lord's Supper, if you have not accepted Jesus into your life, do not take the elements. If you have accepted Jesus and you are not fully prepared to take it because you haven't given up a sin, give it up now. Give it to God right now. Prepare your and cleanse your heart to accept the offerings. If I could get my deacons to come forward, please. Larry, can you please pray for the Jews?
Dear Lord, we come before you in remembrance of the blood that was sacrificed for our sins, Father, for the blood that was shed to cleanse us, Father. We thank you for it. Lord, bless this death to our bodies and keep us in guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Dwight, can you pray for the bread?
Lord, as we eat this bread as a symbol of your body, Lord, help us, Lord, to just feel your presence in us, running through us. Lord, we just thank you for all you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
just hours before Jesus was arrested to be crucified, he was with his disciples in the upper room having the Last Supper. It was the moment that he was teaching the disciples how to share with the rest of the world this moment. And Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we present ourselves to you. We present ourselves not as holiness, but as in need of you, in need of your Son, and in need of your Holy Spirit. Abba, send us your Holy Spirit, guide us, show us, and teach us how to follow you, to be in your presence for your ministry. Show us the open doors that you have given us. Show us the opportunities and guide us in order to share your gospel, your good news with the lost. We surrender ourselves to you as your servants. And we thank you for your sacrifices. And all this, in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus, amen. If you are here today and you are in need of God in any way, any shape, any form, come pray. Come to his feet. Give yourself to him today.
Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
That God is there for us. That God is guiding us. and God will never forsake us. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. Have a blessed week.